the league doesn't decide, or the owners, or the president of the league, the umpires decide, and things like that. And with the strike and other things, you get some of the feeling of that. And you can see lousy umpires like this guy who will antagonize players. They hold grudges against players. And it goes on much more than people think. On the other hand, you'll see good umpires. They don't have those problems. They have reasonably good rapport with the players, and they don't try to antagonize them. And if anything, they try to help calm them down a little bit. And you see those guys, and they're good umpires, and they keep the game on a better keel, and yet sometimes it can be colorful. I mean, some of the umpires will respond when it's just for, the sake of the fans and stuff like that. Like Bobby Bragan, who used to go out, he'd be kidding, but his mouth would be, act as if he was calling the umpire every name in the book, which he wasn't. Uh-huh. Things like that. Garocha was a showman that way. It's a difficult job, and there are a lot of them who don't work really as hard at it as they should. And if you see some of the replays, even in the World Series, with balls and strikes especially, you can see balls that were 4 inches inside or outside called strikes. It's a little harder, judging here, but boy, when it comes past the plate, if you can't see that.
I agree. In writing the book, you touched a little bit on some of the racism that was taking place among the Mexicans and the white society in Texas. That was kind of like, I would think, outside of the game. Did you see any racism inside the game?
Oh, yeah. Among some of the Southern players, they weren't, racist just against blacks. They were racist against Mexicans, South Americans, anybody that wasn't lily white. I can't even think if we had a Jewish player or not, but they would have been racist against a Jew, too. These people would have. So you did have that sort of thing. The first time a Negro came into the league, he played for Dallas. And this guy's name was Dave Hoskins. Shreveport owner told the league president that this guy is not going to pitch in Shreveport. And so for the first time that they came to Shreveport, he didn't pitch. And then there was pressure on that. And the owner and I had fairly good rapport, and he was asking me about it. And I said, look, if you stick to your guns on this, it's going to blow up. And it's going to hurt the Texas League, and it's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt Shreveport. He says, yeah, but the fans are going to root for that. And I played right field there one year, and had a good year, and so the black bleachers were rooting for me and I knew something. We had a trainer whose name was Red, and he had sort of reddish hair, and he used to be a porter, and he passed for white when he came north. And I talked to him, and I told him, I says, get some of these guys that I know and let me talk to them about how important it is, you know, they want the blacks to have a chance to play, that they be careful. And here's how you do it, you know, you can clap for him, but even if they don't mean it, act as if you're rooting for the home team. And this will just, you know, it'll go away. And so the owner reluctantly agreed, and the guy pitched, and he beat us that day 5-1, I think it was. But the fans were absolutely perfect about that. You know, they had a good, the bleachers were just, you know, jammed with the blacks that day. And you know, so that got over that hump, and it wasn't too bad. The biggest problem was sometimes in some of the cities with hotels for him, and we had a guy from South America where he was quite dark, and they were trying to claim that he couldn't stay in a hotel. We were claiming, you know, he doesn't have any blood. That hurt some of those guys. It was really hard on some of the guys who came there, and you'd be amazed, Puerto Rico and Cuba and other countries, how they would sign these guys and just let them out there. They couldn't speak the language or anything else, and then wonder why they fell flat on their face. Mm-hmm. I helped a guy, a Mexican kid at Shreveport, Benicio Garcia, who later went up to Cleveland, who was having, you know, some problems with the adjustment. And he became very popular in Shreveport, had a good year. He was a very popular player.
What position did he play?
Second base. This guy Hoskins went up to Cleveland the next year, and I think he had a 5-6-1 record. Uh-huh. And then the next year, he was only in two or three games and had a good ERA, and I don't know whether he got hurt or what. He was just there one and part of another season.
Yeah. Before you mention Bobby Bregan's scriptees,
yeah,
would you mind kind of describing that for me?
Yeah. Well, he'd had one argument with this umpire before, and then he made another, you know, just horrendous call, and so he went out and you know, really raised holy hell with this guy, and so he finally kicked him out, but he Braden put on a good show the whole time, because he was a master actor at that. And then the clubhouse was way down the third base line, and so he started walking slowly down the third baseline, turning and yelling at him the whole time so all the people could hear him, you know, and saying some things that were funny, and fans were laughing, you know, and some things were very insulting, and they were laughing at that too. And he got to third base and he picked up the base, started to walk away with it. And the umpire didn't know what to do at that stage. He thought, if he went out and tried taking away from him, that wouldn't be right. And so by this time he was He didn't do anything. And then he sort of put it on his head. And then, as he got almost halfway there, why, he patted on his head over his hat, and then he took his hat off. And then with it still there, he started to try to take off his jersey and stuff. And he had to throw the base down finally. And then he started taking off his clothes, his jersey, you know, outer jersey, a sweatshirt, but he'd fling them, you know, each time, fling them this way. Then he took off his shoe and threw one shoe this way, and then he took off the socks, you know, threw them. You know. And by this time, the fans, you know, the players, everybody are just collapsing with laughter. And then, when he started to take off his pants, there were some gasps in the crowd there, but he actually took his pants off. You know, he had sliding pads and had other things over, so you know, it was just like as if he were in shorts or something like that. And so here, this, you know, bandy-legged guy now with bare legs and barefooted and everything, you know, well, I finally get to the door, and then he waves to everybody and disappears.
That's funny. Um.